You're listening to a sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. Lagos exists by God's grace to reach our neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're invited to worship with us this Sunday morning. Sunday school meets at 9 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. And now, today's message from God's Word.
I invite you to take God's Word, if you have a copy of it, and open to the New Testament book of Acts. Acts, I might be throwing you a little bit of a curveball because you know we just finished first and second, Thessalonians, and we're on our way to Isaiah, Lord willing, to start, the study of that fifth gospel, the book of Isaiah starting next week. I want to do something very intentional and plan to do it a bit in the future, Baptist distinctives. There are a number of Baptist distinctives, and this morning the biblical basis for baptism, Acts chapter 8, Acts 8. I've always been quite inquisitive. Have you ever been around kids, especially when they are that age? I remember when we were on vacation many years ago, our nephews, Matt and Jacob, were traveling with us. We were headed up to the mountains. And have you ever been around kids when they've got that, like fast as they can breathe, they're asking you questions, just machine gunning you questions? A lot of those are why. I actually think that's a good, in some ways that's a good thing, right? Maybe in moderation, you know, you don't want to over-imbibe in that. But why? I think that's a really, really good question to ask frequently when we come to matters of our faith and when we come to matters of church. Why do we do the things that we do? Why are we, you know, did we just, when we decided 17 years ago to organize as a church, did they just say, hey, you know, y'all need a middle name? Most kids have a middle name. And so you're going to be Lagos and you're going to be church, and maybe a good middle name for you might be Baptist. We have one of those seats open. Is that how we ended up there? And what I want you to see is these distinctives flow from the Word of God. We ought to be able to answer questions. So we're going, you know, we're saying that before people can be rightly related and part of this church family, they've got to be Christians. What do you base that on? We can show you. And then they've got to be baptized. And they've got to be baptized by immersion. Well, who came up with all that? Are y'all just like wrapped around these traditions? And what I want us to see is that those realities, those truth, those convictions flow from Scripture. So if you're sitting here today, there's a couple categories people might be in as it relates to baptism. Might be those who have been baptized, those, another category. And by the way, I want you to see, we'll end up in Romans 3. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've been baptized, every time we study baptism and you see the picture of baptism, it'll be a reminder of where we stand and how we've identified with Christ. So maybe those who have not been baptized. By the way, they may have been those, there may be those who have been immersed or you've been dunked, you know, but you are not born again. And then maybe there are those who were, maybe when you were a little baby, you probably won't have recollection of this, maybe you were sprinkled, right? We want to talk about that. And so it's a bit of a, I would say an apologetic, but to encourage us in our faith. And then I think we undervalue, I want you to think, we have sung so much this morning about what Christ has done. Praise the Lord. It is finished on that cross. I'm just going to say this. We need to keep emphasizing what Christ has done. But do you know the Bible has got a strong emphasis on now that Christ has done that, what we are supposed to do? We underemphasize what we're supposed to do, oftentimes, right? So with that, the biblical basis for baptism, and let me give you this definition, and then we'll get to Acts 8. This is from, this definition is from a really, really good resource, Understanding Baptism, but I like that it captures the church's part and the individual's part. Baptism is a church's act of affirming and portraying a believer's union with Christ by immersing him or her in water, and a believer's act of publicly committing him or herself to Christ and his people thereby uniting a believer to the church and marking off him or her from the world. That's really, really good, I think. So if you're able, would you stand, Acts 8, as I read our passage for this morning and as we think about the biblical basis for baptism. Acts 8. I'd try to get another B in that title if I could. I guess the biblical basis may be for believers' baptism, right? There's a lot of B's going on there. So, word of the Lord from Acts 8, verse 25. So, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Amen. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the passage you have blessed us with today. We thank you for the gospel, and that the gospel in Acts went forth. Lord, that you bless the church to be born. Lord, even as we celebrate our own anniversary as a church, thank you for the birthday of the church in Acts. Thank you for the gospel being proclaimed. Thank you for the finished work of Jesus. Thank you for the power of the gospel, Lord. We plead with you. We pray for your Spirit's aid, Lord, for divine power. Pray that you would give us power to see and understand and do according to your word. And Lord, we pray that we would not elevate our opinions or tradition, Lord, that you would just blow those up where they're contrary to Scripture, and you would build us on your word. Thank you that it is an anchor. Thank you that your word is unchanging, it's true, it's living, it's sufficient, it's infallible and inerrant. So Lord, help us to be diligent hearers, but not to stop at hearing only, to be eager doers of your word. We thank you for how we praise you and thank you for how you have built and are building your church, and we pray that you would continue that good work in us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The biblical basis for baptism, what you've got there, oftentimes question is asked in Acts is the count that we have in Acts, is it descriptive or prescriptive? It's always descriptive. It's always describing what was going on accurately, truthfully, and sometimes it's prescriptive. And I think our passage this morning in many ways is wholly descriptive, but it's very prescriptive as well. So I want us to do a little bit of work upstream from Acts to build the case for what they're doing in Acts. So think about this. Where does baptism begin in Scripture? Baptism, where does that begin in Scripture? And if you chase that backwards, you'll see that John came, by the way, a prefiguring forerunner, this called forerunner to Jesus. Gospels open and John is baptizing, pointing to Jesus's coming, and John's disciples, remember, they're a bit up in arms that more and more people are following Jesus, but John preaching repentance and that baptism. But very early in the gospel count, we see even Jesus himself being baptized, which we'll get to in a moment. So let's try to lay the groundwork from our passage and also from the Bible in general, the biblical basis for baptism. Number one, baptism is commanded by Jesus. Baptism is commanded by Jesus. And I would say with that, we shouldn't even have to. Some of you said, well, we could get to lunch earlier, right? Once we say baptism is commanded by Jesus, you should be like, you know, if you had a, I remember growing up in Baptist churches, and it was always cool to me, you know, when you're a little guy, there's some cool things and not cool things about being a preacher's kid. I always wanted to be the guy with the key to the thermostat. Remember that? Middle of the service, couple of the older ladies, you know, fan, look over at the guy, and he gets up, and he always looked like he had about 300 keys. You know what I'm talking about? And he had sort through about 250 of them trying to get that right key, and I always thought, man, if I ever got where I could have a key to the thermostat, I would have arrived. But now we're controlling that centrally for you, so isn't it nice and comfortable in here? Air's working. By the way, power will probably be out any minute if it's based on the last couple weeks, and because the Lord works in mysterious ways. But y'all remember when the deacon would, you know, you're in the, I make a motion, we adjourn, you know? And so in church life, the things that we do is... baptism is not up for vote. Listen, baptism is commanded by Jesus. If you meet someone, and let me tell you what I have prayed for all week on this, is because it's so clear. I don't want to be, I have many friends and brothers and sisters who are of the Presbyterian faith or the Methodist faith, and like I have the highest regard for them. But I want us to, so I don't want to be dogmatic, and I'm not looking to fuss with anybody. Somebody sent me a message last night, and not a member of our church, and whoever, I guess Stephen, whoever put out the nice, like, hey, here's what we're looking at tomorrow. Somebody was like, hey, can I find that online? You know, I need to watch that. And I'm like, we're not looking for trouble. But here's what I would say. We could have one point, and the old deacon might make the motion to adjourn, but I would vote it down. We would vote it down because we want more than one point. Baptism is commanded by Jesus for those who have placed their faith in Jesus. You say, well, show me that, David. Why? I will. So Matthew 28, listen to this. Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Y'all, that's our mission. Go therefore, we are to make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, all the peoples, all the languages, all the tongues, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus, all authority there, commands us. By the way, we'll even move earlier in Matthew's gospel in just a minute. So we're studying in Acts. So in Acts, the early church, the gospel spreading, God has just birthed the church, and that's why you see, by the way, Philip baptizing this unit, because churches are being planted. It's a frontier. Now that churches are planted, churches have the keys to the kingdom. The church. Churches, local churches. So the first thing I would say about, and what I hope is the majority of people I'm preaching to is like, man, God has saved me and I've been baptized. And here's what I would say, amen, you have followed Jesus' his command. Baptism is commanded by Jesus. Number two, it's not just commanded by Jesus. Baptism was modeled by Jesus. Baptism was modeled by Jesus. So look at our passage this morning, Acts 8. Look at verse 37. Philip said, if you believe, by the way, some manuscripts have this, some don't. So verse 37, if it's missing in your Bible, that's what's going on. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Philip, as well as the eunuch, he baptized him. Well, that's not the first baptism, because I told you the Gospels open with John baptizing. But listen to this from Matthew 3. It's Jesus' baptism. Baptism was modeled by Jesus. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, that's key, after being baptized, so Jesus was baptized. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So I would almost bookend our sermon with, preface it with, if we're going to think about baptism, to say, hey, you know, here's what we anchor this thing in. God's word is clear. We'll come back to that. But Jesus commanded that churches make a priority, the entry point for people who have been saved, that they'd be baptized, by the way, and then the ongoing mission and work of the church, discipling, teaching them, that we're not rolling into a community, canvassing, preaching the gospel, and rolling out. That's not the plan. The plan is to put down deep roots, proclaim the gospel. And by the way, you see this even in our Acts 8 passage. It's descriptive. I love this. Look at verse 25. When they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord. Look, the gospel is being preached. Started back to Jerusalem. What are they doing? Preaching the gospel, verse 25, to many villages. This angel comes down and look, what does God ground his work in? He grounds it in his word. And this is interesting. We're going to Isaiah next week, and the eunuch is reading Isaiah 53. And boy, that's like shooting birds on a baited field, isn't it? When you're reading Isaiah 53, when you're talking to somebody at lunch and they're reading Isaiah 53 and they say, I'm having some trouble here. Can you help me? Y'all just like, sort of like stop, drop, and roll. Like God's about to save somebody. Right? He's about to save somebody. It's like, man, can I talk to you about what's going on in Isaiah 53? But it's the gospel, and in flowing out of the gospel, the good news is the gospel is all about Jesus. And so I would say those two anchors, baptism is commanded by Jesus, and baptism was modeled by Jesus. Third, baptism is an act for the church. Baptism is an act for the church. When you were little, whatever, you ever play in the pool with your friends, you take turn baptizing each other? We did. We'd like, you know, we'd get out there and, well, you got immersed and you got dunked, but you didn't get baptized. You're like, well, my cousin baptized me. No, she ducked you, or he ducked you, right? But baptism is an act for the church, so we're not to play willy-nilly with the ordinances. And you say, well, where do you get that? Well, the Great Commission, Matthew 28 that we just looked at, is preceded. Look at this in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. Simon Peter answered. This is Jesus' question he has posed. Simon answered, you are the Christ. So who is Christ? Who is Jesus? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus promised he's going to build what? His church. By the way, doesn't that encourage us on our 17th anniversary as a local church? Y'all, Jesus has promised, and he's fulfilling that promise. He is going to build his church. And listen, what's next? The gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. The church has the kingdom keys. And so baptism is an act for the church. Lord's Supper is an act for the church. It's not an act for a family. It's not an act for a couple. Not an act for an individual. It'd be hard, by the way. I love church history. I think it was Thomas Helwise, H-E-L-W-Y-S, Helwise, and Smith and Helwise. They decided that the church that they had been part of didn't have things right, and it was not a legitimate church. And so they decided their baptisms were not valid, and they said, well, who's going to baptize who? So Helwise got a big bucket and poured it over himself, S-E baptism. He baptized himself, and then he immersed everybody else. But anyway, interesting anecdote from church history. But what they were getting right is baptism, an act for the church. And I'm going to say this, reserved for the church. Lord's Supper, reserved for the church. By the way, it's probably better in a sermon, because I don't ever want to get in trouble. Y'all believe me on that. I'm not looking for trouble. Have you ever been to a wedding and they have the Lord's Supper? Have you ever been to a wedding and that? By the way, if it's your wedding and you have the Lord's Supper, I don't have a memo and I'm not taking a shot at you. But what I want to get at is sort of like the sermon. Why we do the things we do. I'm going to tell you, it's out of bounds to have the Lord's Supper at your wedding. That's out of bounds. Nobody said amen. It's pretty when they do that. We do the unity count or do whatever. But those ordinances, y'all, listen, when we say something's commanded by Christ, when we say something's given to the church, there's walls, restrictions, and we don't have liberty to take those things and do them. So baptism is an act for the church. Do y'all love me? Say you love me. Amen. Amen. I have the Lord's Supper. We had the candle. I don't know why we did that. I felt stupid. You know, play that song faster. Right. Didn't we have the unity candle? I don't know. I was there. It was great. March 22nd, 91. I'm thankful for a good, good bride. I'll move on quickly. Yep. Amen. The biblical basis for baptism. Number four, baptism is reserved for believers. Baptism is reserved for believers. I was reading behind Spurgeon this week, and I'll quote Spurgeon so I won't get in trouble. But Spurgeon said, and I've done this, how many of you have read the Bible cover to cover? Isn't that a blessing? If you've read the Bible cover to cover, let me tell you how many baby baptisms you've read about. Zero. And see, you go, he's being mean. I don't want to be mean. And if you go, well, I believe in baptizing babies. But I'm going to tell you, you got there some way other than the Word of God. Because baptism is reserved for believers. Look at Acts 8:34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Philip did what? Preached Jesus. Guess who we're going to be studying about in Isaiah in the coming months? Jesus. He preached Jesus to him. So the eunuch hears the gospel. As they went along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And so there's this connection. Baptism is reserved for believers, and baptism is grounded, it's reserved for the church, and it's reserved for people, I would say it two ways, from God's side, people who have been saved, and people on the human side, human response, people who have placed their faith in Christ alone. Baptism is reserved for that. People have made a credible profession of faith. We'll take and twist language around. How many of you have heard people say, well, my granddaughter made a profession of faith. Right? That's a common language. By the way, we've been praying. We got a granddaughter on the way, and we're praying that the earliest age God will save her, right? And we're trusting that God will do that. But That is language where we've messed up what the Bible prescribed and tried to come in with our opinion and means that she came down front, talked to the pastor, the profession of faith. Marley Beth made a profession of faith two Sundays ago. Y'all remember when y'all saw her up in the baptistry? That is the biblical profession of faith. That's God's prescribed way of announcing to the world. So the profession of faith is not something we say, it's something that we do. And you see that in our passage this morning. You see that, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Well, how do you make a disciple? Well, you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. It's commanded by Jesus, we said, number one, it's the first act of obedience for Christian. So listen to this from our statement of faith. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior, the believer's death to sin, the burial of the old life, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. Being a church ordinance, it is prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and to the Lord's Supper. By the way, you get what you get when you study the Bible. You get a big vision. And by the way, I didn't make this connection. The connection became evident on our 17th anniversary talking about baptism. And when the more you study the gospel, the bigger reverence, awe, and appreciation you have for the church. It is the church who baptizes. It is the church who disciples, right? It is believers. Hey, God saved somebody. Now God wants them to be in the family. Well, how do you, knock, knock, church, I want to be in your family. How do you get into the family of the church? You get baptized. You see all this connection. So what I want you to see is not like, man, around here, they came up with a bunch of stuff, and I just don't know why they're doing this. No, it's like our good God knows exactly what we need, and he has laid down the path. He's given us a sure word. And so baptism is reserved for believers. Fifth, I couldn't get a good way to say this other than the way I said it. Immersion is the mode of baptism. Mode. So I want you to think about point four. Would be the candidate for baptism. So if somebody asks you at lunch, you know, probably not here, say you're at work tomorrow, you're out playing golf tomorrow, whatever you're doing tomorrow, and somebody said, who should be baptized? That's a profound question. And we would say, point four, the Bible is clear. When you study Scripture, it's people who have made a credible profession of faith, people who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, are the people who should be baptized. Now, point number five, and I only have six, so you're going to get to lunch here in just a moment. Once we decide who needs to be baptized, point five is how should they be baptized? How should they be baptized? I'm looking over at Ben. He's not done anything related to baptism, hadn't done anything wrong, but the other afternoon, we ran after work out at the Westgate Trail. And we got sprinkled very heavily. It was a 2-inch rain. Okay? And I like what you heard in seminary. Say, if you want people to like you, sell ice cream, don't be a pastor. So I got three things today to tell you that's going to bother people. I hope none of these people, but it can bother people in general. It's like there's no baby baptism in the Bible. None. Number two, the church owns baptism, the ordinances, the supper. Number three, it'd be like, hey, just there's no sprinkling in the Bible. The mode of baptism, and by the way, the definition of baptize means, listen, to immerse. Okay, listen to this. I just read this to you. Jesus coming up out of the what? Coming up out of the water. I don't mean to be dogmatic. Jesus coming up out of the water. Look at Philip. Acts 8. Look at verse 36. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized, from being immersed? Drop down to verse 38. He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. He baptized him. So immersion is the mode. It's the way we are to baptize. Six, and finally, and by the way, this is the point I would say for our ongoing, for like, okay, for those of us that are in Christ, how should we view our baptism? What happened at our baptism? Six, baptism is the means whereby one declares commitment to Jesus Christ and unites him or herself to his church. So in baptism, we identify with Christ. It's a glorious picture of what Jesus has done for us. It's a sign, Romans 6, verse 3. So think back to your baptism. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So, by the way, the picture, when we go under the water, isn't that a vivid picture? That when a person dies, they go where? They're buried. And by the way, this is not an illustration that I'm coming. This is a biblical picture. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Listen to verse 4. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death. Look, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And I love that. Don't you just, it's convicting. But I love that old hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Know what? No turning back. No, though none go with me. Whew. Easy to sing. Lord, make that our prayer. Though none go with me, I still will follow. You know, baptism, Christian baptism, is a picture of you saying, y'all, I have decided to follow Jesus. Isn't it beautiful, by the way? And have you ever been around people that that knew you in the past, and they like to point out your past sin? I'm so grateful that I have been buried with Christ. By the way, so if you come up and go, you know, I know who that old guy is, I'll be like, praise the Lord, that old guy's dead, buried with Christ, been raised with Christ. He doesn't live here anymore. Isn't that glorious? By the way, the most profound, I remember me and Brother Al and four or five other brothers, we were in, this is the stakes, and you lose the stakes here in the comfortable state. We were in Egypt meeting with the International Bible Society in Egypt. They got us in a little hidden conference room back there, and they're describing, listen, how long they delay baptism for believers in Egypt. We were out of Cairo, an hour or so, and they said, what they do, when people are saved, because that got my attention, you know, like, how many people baptized? Like, we like, whoa, now, you need to go really, really, really slow. You need to go really, really slow. Because, and by the way, they had a little side business over there teaching the guys who were saved and then went on through with baptism how to repair cell phones, because, listen, once you got baptized, you were going to need a new job. Because guess what was going to happen? When you got baptized, you'd have to go to the government. You have, as a Muslim, you have that noted on your license. So now you got to go tell them that you're a Christian. You get a different license. And they also told us about the girl who told her family that, who her brothers killed her after she got baptized. So you're going to immediately be, listen, homeless and unemployed if you decide to follow Jesus. So we've made it like, hey, man, I want to be a member of your church. I don't know why I got to do this. I want to do that. People over there, they're going like, hey, you think long and hard. And people are going through with it because they're saying, I'm going to put my life on the altar when I do this. I've decided to follow Jesus. And I love what Paul said there. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, we to might walk in newness of life. It's a sign. It shows on the outside what God has done on the inside. It's a means. It's the means whereby one declares commitment to Jesus Christ and unites him or herself to his church. Doing the word, let the record show, is 1 minute till 11. Number one, Rejoice in Jesus and our fellowship with him. Praise the Lord, right, that God has saved us, that we've been reconciled. Rejoice in Jesus and our fellowship with him. Second, give thanks for our church family and the blessing of our years together. That one looks beyond, obviously, our sermon, but praise the Lord. Give thanks for Christ's church, our church family, the blessing of our years together. Third, evaluate whether we've been obedient to the Lord in baptism. Right? Have we? If not, respond in obedience. By the way, if you have, every time, I've got where I like the rhythm of us having the ordinance of the supper every first Sunday, right? That rhythm. And it's like, we remember the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But every time we see Christian baptism, that needs to be a reminder. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Y'all, we've been baptized into Christ's death. We've been buried. As Christ was raised, we've been raised. So evaluate. And then if you haven't, then obey. Fourth, pray that we will be faithful disciples and disciple makers, right? And baptism is an essential part of that. But that's our prayer for Christ's church, that we will be faithful disciples. That means we'll follow Jesus faithfully, and that Christ will use us to be a disciple-making church. I remember, stuck with me for many, many years, I remember hearing Al Mohler one time talking about, he said, churches, I agree with what he said emphatically in this instance. He said, churches like to talk about discipleship as, hey, y'all, we need to get some discipleship going. You know, we need to have some discipleship classes. He said, don't we always, especially we comfortable American Christians, we think like, well, that's something we do. And he said, that's the wrong way to think about discipleship. He said, the right way to think about discipleship is if you go somewhere and you encounter a healthy church, when you look around the church, guess what you'll find there? Disciples. He said, listen, disciple making is what a healthy church does. So it's not a program, but you go, by the way, if that begs the question, here we are close to 1,000 Sundays in, right? You go, man, I want us to be a healthy church. Well, what's the key to being a healthy church? Let me tell you, Jesus is the key. He's going to build his church. In his mission, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Lord, here's what we commit to today. Make disciples of all the nations. How do you make disciples of all the ethnos? Well, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Man, that's a big job. Well, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Lord, help us be faithful disciples and disciple makers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gospel, and we thank you for what Christ has done. Lord, we want to rightly, it's our only hope is what Christ has done, who he is and what he has done, and we want to camp out there, and we want to celebrate what Christ has done. But Lord, we want to take seriously that the call to salvation is a call to repentance and faith, and it's a call to obedience. And so we want to walk rightly. We want to live in obedience to Christ's commands. We thank you that Jesus commanded baptism. Lord, it's a good thing to do. And we thank you that Jesus modeled baptism. We thank you for your word and how it instructs us. And Lord, we thank you for the good fruit. Lord, there's good fruit in this church, an imperfect church, but good fruit because of you. And anything that's not good fruit's because of us, Lord. And we don't boast in that, but we confess that. And we want to be obedient, Lord. We want to be humble. We want to be grateful. We want to be teachable. We want to be aligned with your word, Lord. We want to do the things that you have prescribed, and We want to avoid the things that we're not supposed to do, and we pray that we would grow in holiness, and we would grow in health. And Lord, thank you for the instruction from your word of what happened. Lord, I didn't even think about that at the time or fully understand that because of your great work of salvation, Lord, when we were baptized, we were buried into Christ's death. All of our sins were buried with him. He bore those in his body on the cross. Thank you that you count our death in with Christ's death, and thank you that Christ has been raised and we have been raised with him. And Lord, thank you that even the testimony of our baptism and our future hope and faith that we will be raised, Lord, on the last day. And we pray that you would apply your word to your church today, God, for your glory. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if there are those who have, who you have spoken to, Lord, who have not been obedient in believers' baptism, Lord, I pray that they would make that right. For those of us who are saved people who have been baptized, Lord, thank you. Lord, our only boast is in Jesus. And so, God, help us to be faithful disciples and disciple makers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. To learn more about Lagos, to plan a visit, or to reach out to our pastoral staff, visit us online at lagosdothan.org. We hope you'll join us in person this coming Sunday at Lagos Baptist Church.